5 p.m. hour here on Gwynn and Chris, 97.3 The Fan. Big doings today for the Padres. We will get that. We'll talk about that in just a second. Get you set for that game tonight against the Astros. And we've been watching some baseball in here, Adam and I. We've been watching all of the playoff races. And just a little preview in the next segment, we're going to hear from Michael King on Bennett Woods. And he talks about his kind of playoff watching routine. But I told you earlier that Shohei Ohtani and the Dodgers were losing to the Marlins 3-0. I shouldn't have said anything at all because now they are tied up at 5 apiece in that game. So that's not great. Now, however, the Mets, I'm just the bringer of bad news. As I was talking about, the Mets just scored to tie up the game against the Nationals. So it's 1-1 there in New York. But here we're going to be talking about the Padres. We have we'll be hearing from Mike Schilt. He's going to talk about Luis Arraez. I'm going to talk about some of the things that are going to make a difference for the Padres down the stretch. And let's just start with Yu Darvish from last night. He was absolutely incredible. And here's a stat I found recently in the break. It says, including yesterday, the Padres' Yu Darvish has recorded multiple strikeouts in all 280 games of his MLB career. That is the longest streak by any player at any point in their career in the modern era since 1901. So, I mean, doesn't really have anything to do with winning and losing. But Yu Darvish, multiple strikeouts in all 280 games of his career is pretty good. I mean, you would think at some point he would have a one strikeout game or maybe even got hurt and got one strikeout.
Remember, we made a big deal out of it earlier in the year when Clayton Kershaw faced the Padres and he struck out zero batters and ended that streak of his at least one strikeout.
That is true. I didn't think about that. But it's impressive because Yu Darvish has continued to do it his entire career. Clayton Kershaw, I don't really know what Clayton Kershaw's got left. I mean, to be honest, and he's a Hall of Famer, but he doesn't seem to be able to stay healthy and doesn't seem to be able to help the Dodgers. He was pitching well there for a second when he came back, but he's been on the injured list here for a little bit with a foot issue. But Yu Darvish last night was incredible, and anything that we get from Yu Darvish from here on out is just icing on the cake, because maybe a month ago we were sitting here talking about Yu Darvish not returning to the team through his absence, and what he's doing and what he will be doing for the Padres going forward is going to be a huge storyline, I think, at the end of October, because this is an ace that is rested heading into the most important part of your season, and he came back with enough time to allow himself to get ready. So he's going to be stretched out. He's going to be in mid-season form by the time the playoffs get here. He also has about 3 months of pitching that he did not do this year, so his arm is feeling pretty good, I would have to imagine. And yesterday he proved it to us. And Yu Darvish is one of those guys that you put him out there, and he's going to give you at least five innings, and he's going to keep the game in reach for the Padres, and obviously that's what he did last night. Not to mention against a really good Astros lineup. You have to go through some great hitters in that lineup, and Yu Darvish did it yesterday, and he did it convincingly, and that makes me feel good for the playoffs to see Yu Darvish in a form like this heading into maybe even a home series here for the wild card. That would be awesome if there was a home series for the wild card. I'm trying to pull up the exact numbers for Yu Darvish. I had this open earlier, but Darvish went 6 innings. He gave up 3 hits, walked 2, struck out 3, and he moves to 6-3 on the year. But again, anything that we get out of Yu Darvish right now is icing on the cake, because no one thought he was going to be back at this point. No one really thought that he was going to be rejoining the team. So this is bonus Yu Darvish, and he's making the most of it. That's a huge card in the wallet. What am I trying to say?
Feather in the cap?
Feather in the cap. There we go. That's a huge feather in the cap for the Padres. Yu Darvish being able to pitch in the playoffs for them. Let me shamelessly plug 12 games in October right now. If you're getting excited about the playoff run that the Padres may be on. I did a podcast a couple of years ago covering every game of the playoffs in 2022. So just type in 12 games in October, the number 1-2 games in October, and you'll go through all those games. But why I bring that up is because Yu Darvish was a focus in some of those episodes. And Yu Darvish pitched, I always struggle with that word, pitched masterfully. I'm not going to use that word anymore. But he pitched great in the playoffs, and that's something that the Padres need. Now, someone else the Padres need is Luis Arraez. And we know last night Luis Arraez hit his knee, and it wasn't looking good. He had to be removed from the game later because of his knee being injured. And Mike Schilt was asked about that today. That was one of the topics of conversation. Here's what he had to say about Luis Arraez.
I see Luis Arraez in the lineup today. How's he feeling?
He's sore, but he slept on it. You know, as you would expect from Louis, definitely wanted to be in there. We didn't want to just put him in there for the sake of putting him in there, but got in today, got in early. Medical staff put him through the paces. You know, structurally it's fine, but he is sore. There's a little bit of swelling still in there, but you know, he was able to move around, and you know, the eye test, you know, was passed by the medical staff, and so he's in there.
He's in there, Mike Schilt says. Some part of me wants to think that you have to protect the player from himself, and maybe it would be good for Luis Arraez to get a couple days here to kind of let that knee calm down, but it's not going to happen. And Luis Arraez is a much younger player than everybody thinks he is. He's been around in the league for just a short time. He's 27 years old, so it's not like he's got a 30-year-old's body like me, where I'm getting out of bed and my back is hurting or my ankle's hurting or something like that. So credit to Luis Arraez. He's going to be DHing tonight for the Padres. He's going to be leading off as well. And the Luis Arraez criticism I've seen all over the place. It's out there. I don't really get it, but at the same time, when you look at what he does, which is get hits or hit for contact, he does it really well. And I can understand during the regular season that it's not the type of hitter that you would want throughout a whole regular season. I personally want him because he gets on base, but in the playoffs, getting on base is so important. And I don't care how you get on base in the playoffs. If you get on base, you're doing your job. Now, I think I saw earlier today that he has 16, and Luis Arraez is in the cage on YouTube right now, and he's looking okay. But I believe he has 16 strikeouts on the year and 16 walks on the year. Incredible that he's done either so little throughout this entire year. Now, so basically what Luis Arraez does is he either gets a hit or he has an out. And again, I don't care how you get on base in the playoffs, as long as you get on base. What I don't get about these arguments is, like, you could strike out 200-plus times in a season and hit 30 home runs, but that works for you instead of a guy who gets on base, maybe, I mean, doesn't hit for power, but at least, you know, puts pressure on the defense. I think that what Luis Arraez is doing for the Padres is absolutely incredible, and doing it, 141 plate appearances came to an end last night without striking out. He's just someone that I think San Diego's the perfect town for him. We've talked about this. He mirrors Tony Gwynn. And so if there's any fan base out there that understands what kind of player Luis Arraez is, it is the Padres fan base, because of all the years that they got to watch Tony Gwynn do his great stuff. If you make contact, you can make things happen. You cannot make anything happen when you strike out. So the Luis Arraez slander, I want him. I will take a Luis Arraez single in the playoffs any day over a guy who's going to hit 30 home runs and strike out a bunch in the playoffs and not come through when you need him to because they're striking out. But that was Mike Schilt on Luis Arraez. He's back in the lineup today. He is hitting leadoff. Now, here are some of the other things that can really make a difference for the Padres in the playoffs, I think. Manny and Fernando together in the playoffs could make a difference. Manny was in the 2022 run. Fernando was not in the 2022 run to the playoffs. Now, Manny is healthy. Manny is hitting right now. Manny's playing good defense right now. Manny's in the perfect time of his season right now. And Fernando's starting to come together, too. So if you get two of those healthy guys heading into the playoffs, They're going to do damage together, and this lineup is going to do damage. And that's not even saying, you know, Jackson Merrill's not in the top part of the order, but Jackson Merrill can absolutely make a difference. We've seen it so many different times this year. Now, when you really want to talk about where the Padres are set up for the playoffs, it's the bullpen. The bullpen really, really can make the difference, and we've seen it. We've seen it time and time again this year after the trades were made for Tanner Scott and for Jason Adam and for Brian Hoeing. Jason Adam has been nearly as lights out as you can be as a reliever since he came to the Padres from the Rays. And now, when Jason Adam was acquired, I remember a lot of fans being very angry at the price that Jason Adam was acquired for. I can't even tell you who was in that trade at this moment in time. And I also think that Jason Adam has proven that he was worth the price. And we talked about it at the time. Maybe there were other teams that drove up the price. I don't care what the price was. You bought a good piece for this team. You're going to say something?
Robbie Snelling. Remember, one of the Padres' top pitching prospects.
There was a couple other guys, too, but it was Robbie Snelling. We'll see what happens.
Dylan Lesko. Robbie Snelling went to the Marlins for Tanner Scott.
To the Marlins for Tanner Scott, which Tanner Scott, he struggled last night, but for the most part, he's been pretty lights out. Any of those trades that were made earlier this year, the Tanner Scott one, it's a rental. And I don't know that Tanner Scott's going to return to this team next year. So this is why there's importance on doing everything this year. They made all the moves to go into this year hoping to make it the year that they go to the World Series. And I was reading what Matt Snyder said the other day. I was reading ESPN this morning, and a lot of the baseball experts think that this may be the year that AJ Preller has actually tinkered to the point where he's tinkered into a winning team. And not that he's done it like, you know, just putting things together and hoping it works. He's had a plan over the years, but this plan going into this year in this postseason has been the best plan that the Padres have had under the AJ Preller, in the AJ Preller time that he's been the GM. He brought in pretty lockdown relievers on top of the lockdown closer that you already have in Robert Suarez, and he's put them in a spot. This is where I think AJ needs his credit. AJ Preller has put them in a spot to win in the postseason. He's put them in a spot to have a really good shot against the top teams in the National League. And so now it's on the team. I mean, what else can AJ Preller do? He has brought in David Peralta. He's brought in Donovan Solano. He's brought in, made trades for Tanner Scott, Brian Hoeing, Jason Adam. What else can he do except for kind of sit back and see what the team can do in the postseason? We talked about Robert Suarez earlier, and so I looked up the other closers in the league. And with Robert Suarez, you know, getting the save last night, kind of going back to where we have seen him throughout most of the year, he did, he blew the save on Sunday against the Giants because they ended up tying the game. So I went through and I wanted to look at different blown saves categories and the top closers in the league. Emmanuel Clase for the Guardians. He's had 49 save opportunities. He's only had 3 blown saves. Ryan Helsley, 48 save opportunities. He's had 4 blown saves. Kyle Finnegan for the Washington Nationals, 43 opportunities, 5 blown saves. Now here's one right here. Clay Holmes has for the Yankees, has 41 save opportunities this year. He's only converted on 29 of them. So 12 times he has blown a save this season. And then you go to Robert Suarez, who has had the 5th most save opportunities in baseball this year, and he's blown 5 saves. Some of them have come recently, yes. But what I'm saying here, what I'm bringing this up for, is that over a course of a season, even the best closers are going to blow saves. And you can see that in Emmanuel Clase. He's blown 3 saves this year. If you look at other guys, Raisel Iglesias for the Braves, he had at one point had a crazy streak going on this season. He's blown 3 saves. Alexis Diaz of the Reds blown 4 saves. So Kirby Yates has only blown 1 save this year, so good for Kirby Yates. But these guys are the best of the best of the best, and each one of them has blown 3 or more saves this year. So when you look at Robert Suarez and you see him with 38 opportunities and 33 saves, I feel a little bit better about what's happened here recently. I mean, a season is going to come out to the averages. That's what baseball is. It's just a bunch of numbers that in the end will tell you a story. And if we were to look at the Robert Suarez numbers at the end of the year, say it ended today, and he has 38 save opportunities, 33 saves, 5 blown saves. I don't think we would blink an eye at the 5 blown saves. Now, I think they're just more top of mind as of late because they've happened. He gave up the grand slam to the Tigers, and then on Sunday he gave up the home run to McCovey Cove and Kayak Dave. And oh my gosh, I just realized what time it is. So I'm just blabbing at this point, but Robert Suarez is a difference maker. And last thing is Xander Bogaerts and his playoff experience is a difference maker. It does make a difference that you have experience in the playoffs, I believe. So that is the things that may make a difference in the playoffs. I didn't realize how long I went. All right, when we get back, we're going to hear from Michael King. He was with Ben and Woods this morning, so he had some fun things to say about his playoff role. Has he been notified of any playoff role? How has his season progressed? So we'll get into all of that when we get back here on 97.3 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Final segment here on Gwen and Chris, leading you up into Sammy Lev's Padres, Eco Water Padres SoCal pregame show on Eco Water SoCal Padres pregame show on 97.3 The Fan. He is going to be up just shortly in about 15 minutes or so, and then you'll have him leading you up to the Padres and the Astros for game number 2. Took the win in game number 1, and tomorrow's game is actually going to be an earlier game. So if you're not aware, the game is starting at 3:40 p.m. tomorrow, and we will be carrying that obviously here on 97.3 The Fan. So a very, very, very short show with us tomorrow, but you will have Padres baseball to help you fill your time. I was just cruising Twitter and came across this post from MLB Network, and it was the Padres as a team have struck out the least in baseball this year. And so there you go. That's it's got to be some sort of strategy. And when you have Luis Arraez, who never strikes out, it's going to skew your number a little bit. So I understand that when you have some guy who doesn't even strike out more than 20 times in a season, it's going to make your number a lot lower. But this is a completely, again, different team than last year. A lot of strikeouts last year. This year, not as many. Getting on base, moving runners, doing everything right. So that number does not surprise me that the Padres are struck out the least amount of times in baseball this season. I want to make sure we get to this stuff, so let's get into it now. And Michael King joined Ben and Woods. Actually, it was in the dugout of Petco Park, the Padres dugout, and they did it. If you want to watch the video, go to 97.3thefansd.com or go to Ben and Woods on Twitter. They will have it for you there. But we have a couple clips we're going to play. And Michael King is... Will Myers was one of my favorite interviews of the Padres. Michael King has now replaced Will Myers as one of my favorite interviews because he gives you something. He gives you substance. And he was asked by the guys, which I thought was a really good question by them, what have you been approached... I guess I don't know the actual question, but it's about his playoff role, whether or not they've discussed with him if he's going to have a role in the playoffs.
Yeah, none of it has been fully discussed. And of course, I mean, obviously I was a reliever the beginning part of my career. I obviously would love to start as many games as possible. I always joke to Ruben that I want to go 1-4-7 of the World Series. But yeah, whatever they need me to do it in the playoffs, it's all hands on deck. So we're just going to win as many games as possible when it gets that and throw whoever needs to be thrown.
And I should preface that with that was an answer based upon the first the wild card series, so the three game series that they would have to play first, and what kind of role would he have? I wouldn't expect him. I guess you could make him a starter. I don't think he's going to be a starter. I think he's probably going to come out of the bullpen because you got Yu Darvish, you got Dylan Cease, you got Joe Musgrove. I don't see Joe Musgrove coming out of the bullpen, but I love that attitude. It's a great attitude. Whatever they need me to do in the playoffs, let's do it. That's the type of attitude this team has. We talked about it a little bit earlier about that sort of attitude being great for this team. But Michael King, I don't expect them to have any... I don't even really expect for him to say anything to us about his playoff role, but he's going to play a big role. One way or the other, either out of the bullpen or in the rotation, but we're going to see Michael King come in and pitch in big situations in the playoffs, and he sounds excited about it. That's another thing I like about Michael King. The guys also asked him about something that I always wonder, because here we are, we do the scoreboard watching thing in September. Does he watch playoff teams? Does he watch potential playoff teams?
I think that everybody like has it in the back of their head. Everybody knows that all we can do is go out there and win every game that we play. But like, I'd be lying if I said I wasn't watching all the Dodgers games, all the Diamondbacks games, all the Mets games, and rooting for the other team. But not only that, I feel like watching all the Diamondbacks games is giving me a huge insight into their approach. Knowing that we could be having them in the first round of the playoffs, knowing that we could have whoever, Mets, Braves, we're watching all those games, and I think it ends up being something for us to just know what they're doing, how they're approaching these games, how they're approaching hitters, how I can approach their hitters. And it ends up being a positive for us, regardless of outcome of their game.
Michael King, just like us. You know, when I think Us Magazine, they have that little section where they're just like us. Michael King is just like us. He watches the playoff teams, too. He watches the scoreboard, which honestly, I've never believed players that they don't look at the scoreboard. When they say they don't look and they're just focused on what they're doing, I don't believe them, because it's just human nature to want to look. I know on the PGA Tour sometimes when a guy's coming down the stretch, like there was a, I can't remember which golfer it was, but they were trying to win their first major and they did not look at the leaderboard on the back nine. They had wanted nothing. They wanted to know nothing about what was going on around them. And in the end, if they would have looked at the leaderboard, they would have known that they needed to get a couple birdies down the end, down the stretch, you know, 16, 17, 18. And they said later that they would look at the leaderboard next time they're in that position. So I don't believe that athletes don't look at the scoreboard. And Michael King makes a really good point. He's scouting the teams before they actually have to play them. And, so it makes me feel a lot more comfortable. He's locked into the season like we are. Now, his season has progressed, you know, in a good way. He started out a little shaky, but the guys, Ben and Woods, asked him about his season so far.
I definitely think my command got better. I came out in my first start, walk seven against the Giants, and I think that it wasn't as much a confidence thing as it was I needed to just attack with my stuff in the zone, and then I would be able to limit hard contact, because even if I was still in the middle of the plate, I was able to throw all of my pitches for strikes. In those first few starts, couple months, I was 2-0 to like their best hitter, and then obviously I have to now throw a cookie in the middle of the plate, and me hoping that it's just 110 mile an hour line drive at somebody ended up being a home run. So I think that me getting ahead of counts and being more confident in all of my pitches at any point in the middle heart of the plate will play better than being 2-0, 3-1.
Really good stuff there by Michael King. And he seems like a cerebral guy. Like he definitely thinks about things a lot, and he thinks about different ways that he can do things. And he's always willing to listen to feedback and advice. And I'm just, to get him back in the Juan Soto trade was to know that Michael King is going to pay off for a couple more years to come. That is really all we can ask for. He's going to be pitching tonight for the Padres. He's 12-9 on the season. There was a trivia question I asked yesterday in Chris vs. the Fans. Name the two Padres that are top 10 in strikeouts in all of baseball this year. And the first answer was Dylan Cease, and the second answer was Michael King. I don't think any of us would have said that Michael King would be top 10 in strikeouts here this season, but he is, and he's been striking out a lot of guys, and he's been keeping guys off the bases as well. I went to that game against when he pitched against Tyler Glasnow in the Dodgers. I think it was Luis Arraez's first home game, and he ended up walking it off. Michael King, you could see in that moment that this dude can pitch in very, very stressful circumstances. And I have no issues with Michael King. I have full confidence in Michael King. Now, Astros are going to be throwing Hunter Brown. He's a rookie, as Tony said. He's 11-8 on the year. Not really sure. I don't really pay attention to Hunter Brown too much. I guess he's not a rookie. He's a young guy. But he has made at least he's made 28 starts this year, 3.59 ERA. I mean, basically anyone coming out of the Astros, rotation or bullpen is going to be good because they are a really good team. And the Padres are going to face them again tonight. Game two. All right. I think I rolled through everything. Let's update you on some scores before we send you out to Sammy Lev and the EcoWater SoCal Padres pregame show. And by the way, if you don't know, Sam Levitt has a podcast, Inside San Diego Baseball. Sam's going to cover everything going on with the Padres. Find it at 97.3thefansd.com, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts. So scores right now that matter to us. Oh, the Marlins have retaken the lead, Adam. Top of the sixth in Miami. The Marlins are up 7-6 over the Dodgers. Let's see, other scores that matter to us. The Braves are ending 5. They are up on the Reds 5-2 in Cincinnati. The Mets have scored some more runs, so it's not looking good there for a loss for the Mets. They are beating the Nationals 5-1 at home in the bottom of the fourth. And the Cubs, I mean, they're not really there, but they kind of are. The A's are leading right now in the top of the third, 3-0. Now, the other one, Diamondbacks and Rockies are just getting started right now, and those are the games that we really need to be watching. I'm just trying to make sure I'm not missing anything. The Giants are up on the Orioles right now, 4-0 in the bottom of the seventh. I don't get the Giants. I really don't get the Giants. The Giants fans, all my friends up there in the Bay Area that are Giants fans, are in the anger stage of grief for their season because they're very angry at Bob Melvin and they're very angry at Farhan Zaidi. And so we'll see what happens. That music means the end of the show. Thank you to everybody for listening today. Thank you to Dave for doing a Get to Know Dave for the first time in quite some time. Thank you to Adam for helping me out here in studio. We're going to be back tomorrow. Very short show, about 30 minutes, 40 minutes or so before the Padres game starts at 3:40 and Sammy Lev starts at 2:40. So we'll be back with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Have a great night. Go Padres. And Sam Levitt is up next.